This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod!
Welcome, everybody, to a brand new edition of As the Puck Turns. That's right, the NHL has locked out its players. It's become a soap opera of the rich versus the richer. It's the bad guys versus the good guys. But who's the good guys, who's the bad guy? We don't know. We just want to see hockey, man. But anyway, welcome to What the Puck. It's What the Lockout. Of course, another locked out special. Skyping with me, Dan Hayden. What's up, man? What's up, coach?
You know what? It's been an interesting last, 24, 48 hours. But yeah, I like the intro. That was nice.
Thank you very much.
You know who the bad guy is? They're both the bad guys. Who are the good guys? Everybody else.
Well, you know what? This is just a giant PR war. Let's start off with what happened on Monday, man. Deadspin puts out this article on their website talking about the NHL actually hired a company whose slogan is, "It's not what you say, it's what they hear." And they did a focus group on the NHL, and they had this focus group tell them what they think of the NHL, and they did this all while the NHL is locked out. So did you read this article? I was kind of floored by the fact that the NHL would do this.
Yeah, I read it, and I was similar to you. I was almost dumbfounded at the stupidity that that the NHL really is trying to pull off here. And it's almost, I was surprised that kind of that we found out about it that easily, that why are they wasting money? And this whole thing is about money, how much more money the owners want. Why are they now wasting money on hiring other companies to improve their image? There's no way to improve your image. Stop worrying about winning the PR battle and worry about having a season to begin with. The public relations doesn't matter. The fans are going to come back and watch the game. But they don't come to watch the game for you. They come to watch the game for the players. So you've already lost the PR battle. Just get a season going.
Why even have a PR battle when you've had this guy, Gary Bettman, out there and he's caused three lockouts? All right, you already lost the PR war because three lockouts in the span of 18 years is unheard of. The NHL has lost more games than any other professional sport in America due to lockouts like this. It is insane that they would worry about this. The worst part about this is, though, they used a Puck Daddy blog to describe one of the emotions that hockey players feel, and they use pictures, and it was pretty much in this document, it was pictures saying what makes you want hockey more, what would you see and say, man, I want to tune in. It was like pictures of the Winter Classic, a playoff banner, fans screaming, and then there was a hockey fight featuring an NHL player that that is dead and I think committed suicide, and it was a guy that was in a fight, and I'm thinking it has to, like, they had a lot of questions about whether this guy suffered a lot of concussions from fighting. So it kind of shocks me they would use that in a focus group.
Yeah, I saw the thing about Derek Brugger and I thought that was pretty tasteless. And I don't understand how they even have that happen to begin with. How does not one person go, guys, maybe we want to use a different picture. You know, just maybe we want to use a different picture. Yeah, I mean, it's bad. The whole thing was just, it's just silly. Bettman comes out every time that guy is seen in public in an NHL arena. He is booed. There's unless he comes out and cures all forms of disease, the dude's getting booed no matter what. Okay, you've lost the PR battle as long as he is employed. Give it up. Okay, just focus on giving a quality and safe product for the players, for the fans, for everyone. Okay, you're not winning the PR battle. There is no way this is going to happen. Give it up. Focus on getting a season together.
Well, you know what? I think they were kind of doing that because after this focus group came out and after the leak came out on Deadspin of this focus group, the NHL, man, they came out guns a-blazing on Tuesday and they gave a new proposal to the NHL Players Association saying, hey, man, let's split this 50-50. I understand we wanted 46%, you to drop from 57 to 46, but you know what? We'll split this 50-50. We're giving you guys everything you want. We won't even talk about what hockey-related revenue is. You won't have to worry about any of that. And there's just some fine print, but hey, split 50-50 public, all the public out there, it's split 50-50, so we're being fair here. I think they got rushed into doing this because of that Deadspin article coming out and being leaked about this focus group. I think they wanted to see the results of the focus group and then put out something. And what they're looking like the good guys right now. I mean, this is what it is. It's who can convince the fans who's the good guys, who's the bad guy at this point. Because They're now coming out saying, hey, we want to split things 50-50. Everything's fair. We each get our fair share. And we'll get another 82-game season, and we'll just tack on a couple games every 5 weeks so everything evens out, even though we missed a couple weeks. But you got to let us know what you want soon. Otherwise, we're not going to get a full season. So the ball's in your court, Players Association. It's your fault if there's not an 82-game season. It's your fault if you don't accept this. So this PR battle, which is becoming bigger and bigger now, the NHL is trying to be the look like the good guy here and making the Players Association look terrible by not accepting it because, hey, the fans, they just said they wanted hockey back, and we're willing to give them hockey back starting November 2nd. If you guys reject it, it's on you. That's pretty much what they're saying here.
You know, I found it interesting that the whole thing came out on Deadspin and then the deal came out, and then I was thinking, you know, I bet I wouldn't be surprised if they did it on purpose.
That they leaked
it? Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if the NHL was like, oops, oh, they found out about how we're trying to make ourselves look better. Then, oops, oh, look, we have this new deal. And it was sketchy that they proposed – they gave the Player Association this new deal, and then they showed it, and they talked to the media about it, and they talked to fans about it, and then they showed it on their own website. They're saying, look at all this good stuff we want. Look at all this. We're agreeing. You know, the players before, they made 57% of the hockey-related revenue, and then now – hey, you know what? We started too low and tried to get down to 43. Now we're doing 50-50. We're going to split it right down the middle, and we're going to be fair.
Which was your idea to begin with.
It was my deal, and I got no credit. Anyways, so it was just – the whole thing screams. The whole thing's a PR move. Whether this deal – I don't think the players are going to accept this deal, and they're going to reject it, but I think it's certainly a good starting point. I don't like the whole – you know, this agreement is contingent upon the season starting November 2nd so that they can get an entire season in. They'll get an entire 82 games if they start November 2nd. I believe it was Michael Russo who said that if the season starts November 2nd, any of the games that they've missed, that they'll just tack on to the end of the season or the end of the year. I'm not really sure which one. I'm just going off his quote from Twitter. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but the whole thing just screams of a PR move by the NHL. I don't think they're – although, you know, it's Bettman, so maybe he is spastic enough to let the sort of news leak that he doesn't want. But the fact that they're just throwing information out to everyone, I mean, the whole thing's political. It's all a political move. It's just, it's disappointing that it's come to this. Why wasn't this proposal and these moves done back during the summer?
Oh, yeah.
Why wasn't this done last season?
I think a lot of it has to do with that focus group and the NHL kind of realizing, wow, we really look like the dicks in this thing. The fans don't like us at all. Jeez, I can't believe this. I mean, their stars are going over to Europe and playing. They're not staying here to fight. Why aren't they caring about that? This is totally a PR move. And anybody who is a serious fan, and, you know, if there's casual fans out there, that's great. If there's, you know, people that watch every hockey game they can, that's cool too. But you've got to, no matter what, you've got to realize the Players Association isn't just going to let them do whatever they want in this contract that they proposed. Because it's not how things work, especially when you got a guy like Donald Fair who came in. He was the reason, you know, the MLB was on strike back in the 90s and missed, you know, so many months or so much of a season because he's fighting for the players or whatever. The NHL is going to do the same thing, and his pride is so big, his ego is so big, that he's not going to let it slide, and he's not going to at least fight for something else. They did – the Players Association put an agreement out on the table, a contract out on the table saying they would accept something like 52% of hockey-related revenue. So it wouldn't surprise me if Donald Fair fights to get that 52% and then for the owners to go to 48. And he's already come out and said that there's plenty of holes in that fine print of this agreement that he doesn't like. But I think due to his – as a hockey fan – let me jump real quick. As a hockey fan, I wish they would accept this, and I wish they would start games November 2nd. But as a realist and as somebody who kind of sees the game these two guys are playing – they're not going to accept this. They've already said they're going to put a counter offer out on Thursday, and there's going to be another offer out there to the NHL, which will battle some of that fine print. But like you just said, this is a starting point. This is a good starting point. At least the two sides are talking, and now this is going to be actual negotiation. It's not going to be whose dick is bigger than whose. It's not going to be, here's a contract, you guys accept it, and if you're not going to, we're leaving. No, this is actually going to be negotiations.
I think they have about a week to sort of figure this thing out. And they're supposed to meet tomorrow in Toronto at 1 o'clock, the NHL and the NHL Players Association. And I believe the Players Association is expected to make a counterproposal. So we'll see sort of where things go. But as of right now, it sounds like they're starting to, you know, they're starting to get a little closer together. You know, 2 weeks ago, they were so far apart, it was frightening. You know, there was a lot of talk that, you know what, we just might not have a season. We might, it might be, you know, this whole thing all over again. And now it looks like they're starting, having things come together. They're talking. There certainly is a lot of interesting news, interesting little things in the fine print. You know, initially they were saying that they were going to leave the hockey-related revenue talks alone, that it was going to be the exact same as it was before. They weren't going to change, because initially the owners wanted to say, oh, not only do we want more of the hockey-related revenue back than we gave you before, but we're also going to change what counts as that, and that less would count as hockey-related revenue, and that the other stuff would just belong to the owners. Well, now they're saying we're going to leave it alone. But then other people are coming out and saying, well, that's not true. They actually changed it. They just changed it in different ways, and they're trying to be sneakier about it. So we don't really know as fans, and as someone who – I read some of it, and I went, I don't understand what half of this stuff means. You know, it's not up to me. That's up to Fair. That's why they hired him. When they brought in Donald Fair, I was somewhat concerned, because this is the guy that caused the strike in baseball. This is – and he's not the only one, obviously, but like this could be a problem. But you know what? He's got the Players Association working together.
Mm-hmm.
Which is good. You know, at least they're doing that. They're working together. It's not like during the last lockout where you constantly had different players coming out and saying different things. And you're like, Jesus Christ, how are you guys going to get an agreement when you can't even agree with each other? Now, at least they're all together and standing behind him. And they agree that the NHL sucks and they're being mean and that whole thing. And we agree. But actually, you know, both sides are being mean because you won't get an agreement together. But it seems like now we actually have something coming, you know, within the next week. If it's, you know, if it's next Wednesday and there's been no agreement, I'd start getting nervous about being able to have a full season. We'll see if the NHL was bluffing on the whole. If you don't have this ready by the second, or this ready in time for the season to start on November 2nd, then the deal's off the table. And then we're right back to square one and we start all over again for the most part. But it would be interesting to have the season start on November 2nd. I mean, pretty quick. We'd certainly have a shorter preseason than we would normally have. I think they said they'd have about a week.
Yeah, it'd be like a week of training camp and maybe like one or two preseason games and that's it.
It's certainly going to be harder. I think that would hurt some guys like, I'm trying to think of someone on the, like a Stan Galiev, who has the opportunity potentially to make the roster if he has a really great camp. But now you have less time to check these guys out. So you're like, well, I don't know. You know, do you give him a shot and potentially waste time with having him? He comes up and plays a couple games with the Caps and turns out it doesn't work. Or do you just send him down to Hershey and you know, let him play there for the season and let him learn his trade there? Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this happens, but there's so much more. There's so many more things that need to happen before we even come to that point.
Yeah, there's been a lot of player reactions that have been on Twitter and been in the news as well. You know, I know you have a couple guys. Our buddy Adam Vingen, he actually talked to a couple Caps that were at Kettler because they're still in town. They're hoping for a season to start pretty quickly. But I read Carl Alsner. He's in Calgary right now training and just trying to stay in shape. And he was talking about, well, if it does start on November 2nd and they kind of tack on games every fifth week or whatever, it would kind of be like when the Olympics happen, because the NHL shuts down for about 2 weeks when the Olympics goes on. So he said it would be pretty much like that. So starting November 2nd wouldn't be that big of a change or anything travel-wise or anything like that for these guys. So it seems like, I mean, that's maybe like the one thing that I actually do believe from the NHL when they were like, hey, you know, we're doing 50-50%, we're doing 50-50 each, we're being fair, this, that, whatever, but it all happens, it has to happen on November 2nd. That might be the only thing I actually believe them for, saying November 2nd's when it's got to start, because it seems like it won't be that big of a disruption to the actual 82-game season. So we'll see what happens there, but I know there's been a lot of Caps who have been talking, besides just Caps. Caps, though, before I let you kind of talk about what those guys said at Kettler, a lot of players, you know, have tweeted and everything that they're like putting on hold their trips over to Europe for vacation, or they're kind of stalling with the KHL whether they're signing or not, because they kind of think this deal is going to work out. So when I read that yesterday, I was pretty hopeful. But again, these guys are going to get the best deal that they can, and it seems like both sides are at least willing to compromise. So there is hope. I have hope that something will break and that we will have hockey soon, and I'm hoping by this time next week that we're talking about training camp starting. That's just my hope, though.
Well, I think a lot of players saw this as a step forward, and they're sort of waiting to see what happens, especially after the meeting tomorrow. I think tomorrow afternoon, maybe late afternoon, early evening, we'll sort of see where we're at and if there really is reason to be optimistic, or maybe we come out and go, ah, crap. You know, here we go again. We got nothing happening. It'll be interesting to see. Tomorrow is certainly going to be a fun time. But there's certainly a lot of things that are interesting, or things that I liked, you know, with the NHL deal in regards to sort of the overall things. I can't talk about a lot of the little things and the money things because I don't understand half of it. But the things I do understand, I think, are pretty interesting. I don't like that it's only – rumor is it's only a six-year deal. I don't like it it's only 6 years. Why are we going to be right back where we are right now in 6 years? Why are we doing this again? Make the deal longer. If you guys are going to come to an agreement, if you're going to lose games over this, make it for longer. Make it count, something that both sides can agree on. I also don't like that it doesn't seem like the owners are giving up anything. Why is it the players the only ones losing things? But anyways, we can move on from that. But yeah, with the league starting on the 2nd, it could work, especially if they're not going to really break up the schedule. All they do is have to sort of fit in games where they can of the ones they missed. So I think it certainly is possible. I think this deal could work if, you know, the fine print, not this deal necessarily, but it certainly is a good start if the NHL Players Association can then come out and sort of tweak it to a little bit of ways that they might like, and then the owners can look at it and go, okay, maybe try this, and then they go back and forth a few times, and then maybe at this point next week we're talking about, okay, let's see what we got for training camp. Everything's good to go. This is the new deal. We're ready to go.
Yeah, that's that. I really hope that's what happens. I hope they're all going, all right, we like it, and, you know, I think both sides are going to say, no, we reject this at least one more time, just so they can each say that they rejected it and tried to fix things. But at least the sides are talking. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about what some Capitals are saying about this deal so far.
First thing is Matt Hendricks came out and he said he thinks it's a step in the right direction, which I think is pretty much what everyone has been saying.
Yeah.
He's not the only one. Everyone's kind of said, one way or another, it's a step in the right direction. Well, duh. You know, give us a little more. You know, it's not... He says he's not something to be he's not overly excited, not at the moment. I guess he sort of read it and checked out the finer print, and he understands this stuff more than I do.
Right.
But he thinks it's a step in the right direction, which is obvious. Not any deal is a step in the right direction, especially not the first few deals that were going back and forth. But it's a start. We'll see where things go. You know, Hendricks thinks that a November 2nd start is doable, but he seems, you know, he's not sure if it's going to happen, I guess. I wouldn't put it that way necessarily, but, you know, we don't really know yet. It's too early to say whether that's possible, I guess. We have to see sort of what happens tomorrow. And then Chimera came out and he said that we still take a lot of concessions in the deal, but it's a lot to look over. We're taking the time to mull it over and look at things. Hopefully it's a good step in the process. I think that kind of makes me wonder. The biggest thing in this whole problem is the waiting game.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the deal comes out and you hear all these cool things and we're all excited and you're throwing things out on Twitter wanting them to accept the deal. And I'm sitting there at work not working because I want to see... no one from my work listens to the show. And I'm sitting there and I'm hoping that things happen. And then you're like, wait, and you're waiting and you're waiting and you're waiting and nothing, and you don't know anything. And you're like, God, this sucks. Somebody do something. And now it's like, okay. So that was Tuesday. And then Wednesday, you're like, oh, you hear a little more.
Well, I was seeing stuff on Twitter on Tuesday saying the Players Association is going to come back later tonight and tell us whether they accept it or not. So I'm like, holy crap, we might have something moving or whatever at like 7 o'clock tonight. I'm like, wow, this could like actually mean that we're going to get hockey soon. But then it's like, no, we'll let you know Thursday.
Yeah, and you're like, come on, quit screwing around and just let us know. The waiting game is the worst part, and it drives you nuts. But then back to the story we're talking about. And then Jay Beagle comes out and he says, obviously the sport relies on the fans, especially here in D.C. and everywhere, except for maybe Detroit. And Beagle gives out the usual player line about the Caps having the best fans, which is true. He's optimistic. It sounds like he's optimistic. I think the players are getting more optimistic because while they may not like the fine print, they see this as a step in the right direction. I think that's the biggest thing right now, is that we finally have seen a step in the right direction. We'll see where it goes from here. Not a lot of other Caps players are talking about it because it seems like more of them are going overseas, so we'll see what happens. But it certainly, I agree with them, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm very happy to see this. Hopefully this time next week we're talking about training camp and not talking about any lockout news. I'm sick of talking about it, but this has been kind of like a fun week, though, with everything going on, because the sides are actually talking. There's something to actually report instead of, hey, they meet yet? Nope. All right.
It's nice because we have the weekends as football, and so there's things to talk about, and then the week comes and you're like, ugh. because the Nats and the Orioles got knocked out of the playoffs, so you know there's a little bit of that to look at. But now it's just there was nothing, and then Tuesday out of nowhere there was this proposal, and then it came out that it was a 50-50 revenue split, and everyone kind of went, "Wait, what?
Yeah,
what? They're actually agreeing to this? No way. Okay, things might be working." And then we wait.
And that's what we're going to keep doing until this new news breaks. But you'll have to wait until next week to hear the next What the Puck to actually hear if we're going to have hockey or not and what we think about it. But anyway, so let's move on a little bit. We still got some Caps. They're in town. They're kind of all over the world as well. What other kind of Caps news we have to talk about?
Well, there was a rumor going around out of Russia that Backstrom might be joining Ovechkin with Dynamo Moscow. I think that could be pretty interesting, having those two guys together, especially after watching that game. What was that, last week?
Right.
It was so incredibly boring. And there's no hitting, so we don't have to worry about him getting another concussion.
That's true.
A lot of it was offense-related, and that's what Backstrom's good at. And so having him over there playing on the same line, I don't know if it's the same line, but on the same team with Ovechkin, it certainly could be a little more fun to watch, to see those two guys playing together. And it'd be nice for them to get some time during the lockout to play together, especially if they'll be playing together November 2nd or whenever it is we have a season, whether it's now or next October. So it'd be interesting. There's no word after this kind of – it started out of one reporter, and then another Russian reporter picked it up, and then another one picked it up, and people were responding. But we haven't really heard anything since, so we'll wait and see. I mean, there was a couple of weeks ago where we heard about he might be going with Marcus Johansson over to Sweden. So we'll see what happens. I'm kind of curious as to why he's sort of taking his time. Guys like Troy Brower are waiting because his wife's about to explode with like two children or something. And
well, no, didn't you hear? They actually had their baby.
Oh, they did.
This Sunday they had a little girl.
I thought it was twins. No, just one. Fantastic. I think well, good for him. One. Congratulations to Troy Brower. That's awesome.
Yeah, we got a baby Brower on the Caps team now. So congrats to the Brower family. He's got more than just a couple beagles, even though beagles are great.
Yeah. So then, so we know why he was hanging out, but then I'm surprised that guys like Backstrom and Johansson sort of aren't making their way overseas and getting some hockey. And it's nice to see that the guys are working out at Kettler, but you know, practice is practice. It's not a game situation, even if it is the KHL. So that's what we got right now out of the Capitals, at least. With minor league news, Hershey Bears and the Reading Royals started their campaigns this past week. Both lost.
Oh, come on.
They weren't the best of beginnings. Actually, the Royals currently are 0-2, and Hershey has their second game on Friday. But it's early. Holpe played in the first Bears game. Caps prospect Philip Grabauer played in the Royals' first game, as well as Capitals goaltending prospect Brandon Anderson played in the Royals' second game. Both of them lost, but it's early. Starting out 0-2, you know, it's not the end of the world. They're not going to lose every game. So it'll be fun to watch those teams. So if we don't get hockey for another couple months, hopefully we do in November. But even if we do, we should go check out a Hershey Bears game or a Reading Royals game if you have the opportunity. They're a lot cheaper than Caps games. And while I haven't been to Reading, I know the facility, the Giant Center in Hershey, is very nice.
Oh, yeah, of course. We've said this every show. It's always good to go check out a Hershey Bear game. Go to as many as you can, and hopefully that isn't the only hockey you get to see, but it's still good hockey no matter what, whether you're seeing NHL hockey or not. Never been to Reading, and of course, this is the first year the Reading Royals are a part of the Capitals organization, so that's going to be a brand new experience. I've never been to an ECHL game before, especially since the Capitals had the Stingrays, which are down in, what was it, like South Carolina, North Carolina? One of the Carolinas.
Yeah, South Carolina.
Yeah, and you never got to see them. So this is kind of cool that they're so close. We've talked about that before, though. And their jerseys are purple, which I like since I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get used to that. But, you know, I'll be okay. I'll figure something out. But, yeah, that's pretty much all that's going around in the Capitals and everything going up on I-83. We got a little NHL news going around. There's rumors going around that we might have expansion.
I read that.
It'd be interesting. The talk is that they would have a team in Quebec, and then Quebec Toronto City would get a second team, so that we could see the routine of the return of the Nordiques, and then a second team in Toronto. I don't know what they would be called.
I don't understand the whole second team in Toronto thing. I mean, like there's not that many cities in Canada that they need two in Toronto.
Well, I'm sure they could find another city. I know that Hamilton probably wants a team. But you know, in baseball, Chicago's got two teams.
I know. I hate that. I hate the fact
New York has two teams
in every league. That's the thing that really annoys me.
Well, the NHL, they almost have three teams if you consider the Devils. They're not that far away from the city.
Yeah.
So it's really interesting to look at. From what I've read before, and they've been talking about having a second team in Toronto for a couple of years now. Not to the extent that the NHL's been talking about it, but that people up in Canada have been talking about it. And they think that there are enough fans, and Toronto's a big enough area that they could have two teams, and both teams could do very well financially, which I think is the biggest problem.
What they need to do is have the Maple Leafs actually maybe like win a game or two, and then actually think about getting another team.
Well, that's true. It would be nice if the Maple Leafs, for the Toronto fans, if they would start to win, but I don't really care. That's not my problem. I just like if the Capitals win. But that's what's going on with the expansion talk. The NHL did come out and say that there's been no talk of expansion, but that really isn't something that they're probably worrying about right now, at least releasing news-wise, even if they are talking about it. But it would make me wonder, why are you talking about it when you don't even have a season?
Right, right.
And then the other interesting thing, which kind of goes with the whole money-grubbing thing from the NHL owners, and it certainly did not help the NHL owners' position, or at least their public view right now, is that the Edmonton City Council backed out of a deal to build a new arena for the Oilers after owner Daryl Katz demanded millions of more dollars in public money.
Jeez.
So initially, the Oilers and the city had an agreement to get a new arena, and you know they're going to pay for the city would pay this much, and the team would pay this much. And then the owner came back and said, oh, actually, I want millions and millions of more public money. And then the city told him basically to go screw himself, and they all voted no, I'm not dealing with this anymore. And it's interesting, initially, you know, you think Edmonton's using him, and then as a way to, you know, they go to Seattle and say, hey, we're gonna come here now as a way to get more money out of Edmonton, and then there's all kind of, you know, a ruse to get more money. And then now you start to think, maybe, you know, is this how Quebec gets a team back? Is this how they get that second team in Toronto? Is this how Seattle gets a team? And people are starting to think that Seattle really could have an NHL team and do really well financially. So it'll be interesting to see sort of what happens in Edmonton. You know, maybe we'll see the Seattle Oilers in a few years.
Wow, maybe. I mean, that's kind of crazy to even think about. But yeah, I think the expansion thing is a good thing to at least talk about once the season actually gets started. And Edmonton, though, I mean, this team has got a lot of history, and I don't think they're going to just let their hockey team go. But it's different times now, man. It's all money. That's the thing that people talk about the most. And in today's day and age, when there's bad economy and everything, these owners and these rich guys can't think money's going to come out of just nowhere. I mean, come on. Live like the fans one day and see if you can actually get more money out of a government like that.
Well, it's all about money nowadays, and Edmonton certainly has a team that I think in a few years is going to be quite good. They kind of remind me of what the Capitals were a couple of years ago. They got a lot of young guys.
They got the lottery line.
I mean, it's going to be ridiculous that they have up there with Nugent Hopkins and Hall and Yakupov. They have Eberle. We'll see what happens with the goaltending. They maybe build up a little bit more of their defense, but they have a lot of guys that are going to be pretty good there. I think the Oilers are going to be a team that you're not going to want to play in a few years. And it's going to be disappointing, I'm sure, for Edmonton if they finally have a good team and they leave. It's kind of what, you know, Atlanta had this terrible team in the Thrashers. They went to Winnipeg, and they're actually pretty good for most of the year. They just missed the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. I certainly think a city like Seattle will do well, especially with Vancouver so close, that you sort of already are having that rivalry. They already have a huge rivalry between Seattle and Vancouver with Major League Soccer. So to having NHL 2, I think would work just as well.
Yeah, controversy creates cash, man. These guys want to talk money. You get rivalries. You get controversy. You got plenty of cash to be made there. So I think Seattle will be a perfect hockey town. I think they would enjoy it, and they need something up there. I mean, yeah, they got the Seahawks, and they beat the Patriots this past week. And everybody's happy about that, but they could use another sport up there. And, you know, it would be great against Vancouver. I like that.
It would certainly be, and you wouldn't have to worry about, you know, moving around the conferences and divisions. All you'd have to worry about is somehow getting the Winnipeg Jets out of the Southeast Division, because that makes zero sense.
Yeah, it doesn't. I loved how no one's even talked about that. The whole realignment that the NHL came out with, and the Players Association went, no, not doing that. And that hasn't even been talked about. So
that's going ways back, but that really did surprise me. I am kind of surprised that hasn't been brought up, but I think with everything going on with the whole financial battles, that's first foremost. That's the most important thing right now, is figuring that out, and then they can deal with realignment later. If it came down to they figure everything out and realignment is the problem, and that's what stands between us and the NHL season, just leave Winnipeg in the Southeast. They're not that hard of a team to play against. I don't care. It's okay for the Caps. You know, I'd rather, you know, it's all right. It'll work out in the end, but I think that's sort of a minor issue right now, but it's certainly something to watch out for in the future if we actually start to have good talks and that things actually go well tomorrow and there's the possibility of having a real NHL season soon.
Yeah, it just feels so good to actually be talking about the fact that there's people talking and there might actually be a season eventually in the next month or so. I mean, November 2nd is not that far away at all. So
no, it's not.
I'm very happy that they're talking about a date that close. That's just me speaking as a fan, and that's what we are. We're just fans who like to talk hockey, and hopefully people like to listen to fans talk hockey. But is that pretty much it? Do we cover everything?
I mean, that's pretty much all that's going on. Right now, everything's sort of focused on the lockout. We'll see where we go from here. I think tomorrow is sort of really important to see what happens after they meet at 1 o'clock. So tomorrow, late afternoon, early evening, everybody should be going, check out – I wouldn't say check out ESPN because they don't care about hockey. unless it's on ESPN too. Check out TSN. Check out Twitter. A lot of – just see what happens. Especially TSN. They're all over it. So
yeah,
we'll see what happens. It'll be fun to see – I hope that I go to their website tomorrow and see that the Player Association has sent a new deal back and that the owners are looking it over and they see some things they like and they have to make little tweaks and they go back and forth for a little while.
Yeah, that's fine. Go back and forth. Do everything you need to do. Just get it done. That's all. Hashtag get it done. That's all I got to say. Just get it done, man. Just get it done. This is all going on. Twitter's going to be your best bet. I mean, yeah, sure, you can be like the old folks and watch TV, but Twitter's going to be your best bet to get up-to-date news. And Coach Dan, where can people follow you? And hopefully you'll have some things to say tomorrow about which way this goes.
Well, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can follow me at WTP Coach Dan, and you can always follow the show for information at facebook.com/WTP podcast. But Brandon, what about you? You put all sorts of NHL stuff out there. What about your views and insights? Where can they follow you on Twitter and all your other shows?
Whenever news breaks, I'll have something to say about it. So at Brando Cash on Twitter. And if you like What the Puck or any of the other shows on the at Brando Cash Network, make sure you go to facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. And you'll get information about What the Puck and all the other podcasts you can think about, especially we got shows about the Ravens, the Capitals. Wrestling might be around a little bit longer, we're not sure, but we got plenty of things to talk about on this podcasting network. And the most important thing you can do, if you like What the Puck, tell people about it. Facebook, tweet, Tumblr, Pinterest, do everything you can and let people know about What the Puck. Leave us an iTunes review. That kind of helps us kind of climb the ladder in the iTunes ranks, and they kind of take notice that this one, do-it-yourself podcast is kind of popular for people that like hockey. Give us a review. Subscribe on iTunes, so that way whenever we post a new show, you get it automatically downloaded straight into your iTunes. And if you have an iPhone or iPod, you can get the podcast app, and you can subscribe right there, and it'll get downloaded automatically right to your phone, so you don't have to hook up your phone to your computer anymore to get our podcast. They just get show up right there on your handheld device, which is pretty cool, I gotta say. And that's pretty much it for What the Puck. Coach Dan, thanks for joining me, and hopefully next week we're talking about training camp.
Yeah, I would love to talk about that next week.
See you, man.
See you next week.